Anna Stretton was the mother of two young children when she started her own fashion label based in her home on a Morrinsville dairy farm. The Stretton Clothing Company and the Stretton Group are now a multi-million dollar concern with 30 retail Anna S stores, 150 employees, outlets in Australia, the US and Britain. She runs her own business magazine too, aimed at women, now called Her. Anna Stretton's fashion style is very feminine, as many of you will know. Chiffon and ruffles and tulle, primary colours. We don't do black or boring clothing here, she told the Sunday Star Times. My design's all about colour, life and positivity, something we need in these current times. Now, Anna Stretton's talking to us from Massey University in Palmerston North. She's back at school taking a course and being a company director. After 18 years running one of New Zealand's most successful fashion companies. Her book is Wise Heart, 10 Strategies for Success in Business and in Life. Good afternoon, Anna Stretton.
Good afternoon, Jim. How are you?
Obvious first question, why do you need to be back at school?
Well, I think you should always be learning. And in Wise Heart, I kind of devote a chapter to that. It doesn't matter whether you're 70 or whether you're 23. I mean, you should always be extending, learning, pushing your boundaries. And this is an area that I think will be incredibly healthy for my company. And also, what a wonderful way to future-proof and look at doing something, you know, after Stretton Clothing.
All right, that's the first tip. Never stop learning.
No, never stop.
Let's look at a few of the other things you learned, if we may. Back in 1998, when you opened an Anna S store in High Street in Auckland, mm-hmm. alongside Workshop and Zambezi and Co., it didn't work. And you learned from that?
Yeah, I absolutely did. I mean, it was wonderful the way the Herald managed to trawl the book and pick up every single failure and run that as their article. But I suppose that's journalism and that's media, and I'm well entrenched in that myself. But one of those was the High Street store. And the reality is that when you take a product into that environment, it's a very niche environment that fits a certain demographic, and you really need to know that your product fits that if you're going to set up a retail store in there, and we certainly don't. I mean, our product is... especially in the Anna S collection, is very much more a mainstream focus. You know, I kind of target women that really don't need to have the latest Karen Walker jacket slung over the back of their chair. They just want a great retail experience, and they want to buy a frock that makes them look fabulous, and they want to actually be served by a girl that has great knowledge and love of the brand.
I didn't mention that example to Carp. I mentioned it because you learned something from it. You noticed that the Americans, the tourists who came into the shop, they liked your clothes, and it told you that you had international appeal, and you started listening to your gut, you said.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, failure has always been the foundation stone of my success. So when I'm tripping and falling, I'm learning so much. You know, if I'm getting accolades, it's kind of, hey, this is wonderful, but there's no learnings there. So the failure has got all the learnings. And the reality for me, it was about saying, okay, this isn't working, let's pull up anchor and get out. But the neat thing was, is that we found that the Americans coming into that area and staying at the Metropolis that was then, I think it still is now in some shape or form, but they loved the product and really did buy a lot of it. So that did give us a nice entree into the market. It did show us that we had a nice fit with that American market. And, you know, so therefore we were able to grow from that.
Before we get to all the advice in Wise Heart, I just want to say something that probably a number of listeners will be thinking, who've heard success stories before, who look at people like you and think you're on the pedestal. Your story's an admirable one, and your strategies seem excellent. But people will think it's your brains, it's your drive, it's your background, it's your talents, it's your presence that have created your success. A lot of people read the leadership books, the success books, but they don't have the personalities to make the ideas work. Not everybody can do it, can they?
Yeah, I don't think this book is necessarily targeted at business. You know, I've asked a lot of people that have read it where they see it fits. You know, is it about young people? Is it old people? Is it business people? Is it people not in business? And the constant answer I get is this is a book that everybody should read. It's about thinking differently. It's about looking at how you can drive your life to another level, how you can drive your business to another level. And I think everyone can do that. You know, everybody can improve. Everybody can be a front foot thinker. You know, I think a lot of people that I meet think from the back foot. It's all about what they can't do rather than what they can do. And for me, you know, I've always believed that if I've wanted anything or I've wanted to achieve anything, I'm, you know, I can possibly do that. You know, I go in there thinking that I will achieve that. Now, everybody can think like that. So the book is geared at getting people to think differently. You know, that's all it is. So taking 10 strategies or 10 areas that I believe they can start to think differently around. And that's that glass half full, that front foot thinking. Whereas most people glass half empty, back foot thinking. You know, I can't do this.
You were once a bit of a back foot thinker yourself. That's That's what I find interesting. Your brother said, you know, you're wasting your life away, you're destined to a life of drifting and no purpose. Your brother gave you a bit of a heart-to-heart.
Yeah, well, it was more, I mean, I think it was more an alcohol and fueled debate that went over several weekends as I was living there in the Hawke's Bay, because that is one of the homes of our fabulous wine. But in those days, it was probably cask wine, because it wouldn't have had a lot of money. But the reality was, is they were, you know, it was Dad and my brother that were a lawyer and an accountant, and they were very much left-brain thinkers. I was right-brain because I'd just come out of arts school. And I was. I'd just been fired from my from the job that I'd been doing, which was in hospitality. And, you know, they turned around and they said, you know, you're hopeless. You know, you can never achieve anything. You're just going to drift through your life. And I said, that's rubbish. I just don't want to be what you are. You know, I don't want to be like you. I could do what you did, though. I could train my mind. And anyone can train their mind. But I suppose if you're creative, that's intrinsic. You know, you can't teach someone to be creative. That either exists or it doesn't. But to teach yourself to actually train your mind to do something in the financial sphere, i.e. accountancy, as I chose, was relatively easy. It was just about knuckling down and applying myself.
The one thing I've never done, I'm quoting you now, we're talking with Anna Stretton, if you've just joined us. Her book is Wise Heart, 10 Strategies for Success in Business and Life. The one thing I've never done is avoid a problem, no matter how hard.
Well, instinctively, as humans, we avoid, you know, whether it be male, whether it female, whether it young, whether it old, the obvious answer to us in many instances is to avoid. I absolutely don't avoid. I confront, and I often confront immediately. Now, confronting is not aggressive. It's just dealing with clarity with the issue at hand. And that's why I talk a lot about that. You know, this avoidance, it will raise its ugly head somewhere else, and it will fester and will explode. And so because I confront, it makes for a very clear path ahead of me, and anyone that's surrounded me or is employed by me or, you know, working alongside me knows exactly where they're at. So I never run from anything. Actually, I love challenges. I love the process of working through them.
Is everyone, though, and I won't keep asking this question in a different guise, but is everyone imbued with the sorts of personal resources you have? The reason I mention this is because probably the hardest thing that people don't want to confront in their lives, or one of them professionally, is their jobs. They're in jobs that they don't really have huge passion for, have huge love for, but it pays the mortgage, pays the bills, raises the children. Are you saying you should confront everything?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the slogans is live the big life. You know, you should live the big life every day. If you don't love what you do, you can never be great at it. Now, how fair is that to yourself, to your employer? And if you're in a retail environment or servicing customers, how fair is that to the customer? You know, I am one for, you know, I am over mediocrity. I'm over going to buy, say, a great pair of shoes or a pair of shoes that I fall in love with, to be greeted by an 18-year-old retail assistant that certainly doesn't care whether I live or die, let alone buy the shoes. I mean, how great is that for business? How fair is that on her employer? I mean, everybody can find a job, can find something that they love. Maybe it'll just take a little more time and a little more effort. And we need to afford that to actually do that and bring that love into our lives. We deserve to be passionate about our lives. We only get one go at it.
I wonder if you can do that within the existing context of where you are in your life, because you also say if you approach everything with positivity and drive, you will not go unnoticed and things will, I presumably, improve for you. I wonder if you just, for a lot of people, it's simply a matter of changing their attitude towards what they're doing now.
I totally believe it is. That's how simple it is, and that's what I talk to in the book. You know, the attitude that I bring to life every day has determined the altitude that I'm experiencing. It is not about luck. It's not about, you know, being in the right place at the right time. I just bring a great attitude to my life. I mean, there's three ingredients to a great life and a great business, and that is passion, discipline, and integrity. That is all you need. You know, and so many New Zealanders doubt. You know, we doubt whether we can achieve. We doubt whether we can pull it off. We doubt whether this is going to come through for us. We need to remove doubt from our lives. It shouldn't exist there.
This is the glass half full mantra again, and you say it's the only way to see opportunities.
Absolutely. How can can you see it if you're sitting there thinking, well, this won't work, or, you know, why did they approach me, or, you know, there's got to be something strange happening here, or if you think like that, that's likely to happen. You know, what you're thinking will likely play out. I mean, but if you think the other way, and as long as you're sensible and you investigate opportunities properly and you weigh up the risks of where they're going to take you, but if you go in with an open mind, it's amazing what you can achieve.
A lot of glum, pessimistic people are also quite creative, however.
Very. But, you know, creativity in its sense, if you're looking, I mean, that's a wonderful space to be in. I love being a creative. I started life at art school, and I hope to, once I'm not so involved in the company, to go back to painting, drawing and sculpture and things like that. But, you know, I think a glum, pessimistic person is an incredibly difficult person to be around. They tend to be the creators of their own demise in a lot of cases. I mean, they're not an enjoyable socially at all.
What do you start with? You know, you mentioned the three, the discipline, the passion, and I forget what the third one was.
Integrity.
But, the integrity, yeah. Okay. The discipline in your case is important, and I wonder if getting more disciplined in your life engenders the other two components to an extent anyway. You get up really early and you're on the go, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You have to have discipline to achieve. You know, it's not just this lucky thing that befalls you. You know, I have to apply myself. I have to focus on the right sorts of issues each day. So every day I get up 4:30. But hey, let's face it, it's just as difficult getting out of bed at 7. It's difficult getting up anyway. You know, when you wake up, it's not a nice thing, especially in the middle of winter, to crawl out of bed. So I kind of figure that if I get up at 4:30, I've then got till 9 to actually work through some of the focus or identify the focus in my day. So then I can actually put together a checklist of what I want to achieve. And I work by this 80-20 thing. Only 20% of the stuff in a day needs to be touched by me. The rest can be delegated or deleted. No, so I certainly don't hang myself out around the 80%. I totally focus on that 20%, and that's the stuff that makes me seem so incredibly efficient, because I get back to people, I respond, I reply, I make things happen in a day, and that's because I have that focus time at the start of the day, which is like a planning time. It's like setting up a plan for a company or a business. I plan my day.
If you do get back to everybody, I mean, for a lot of people who are deluged by emails, for example, this is half of the problem. Oh, I've got to reply politely to everybody, and that takes up a lot of the day. But you regard that as core business.
I'm not, and I think women are very bad at it too. They turn emails into epistles. If you get a response from me, you just get a yes or a no. I think very much like a man, and I'm not a man, obviously. I would like to think that I present very femininely, but my whole focus is to teach the women that surround me and work with me to think without emotion in a business sense. So, and that goes for emails. You know, I respond them like a male would. Yep, no. I mean, if I ever get an email from Michael Hill, I mean, it's one word. Yes, no, whatever. And that's the way that I respond as well. But that thinking like a man is so healthy, because I don't stress the small stuff. You know, if I have a challenge in my life, I do what a man does. I look at it and think, can I change this? If I can't, I move on.
Do people not find you too brusque in doing that and resent it?
A lot of people find me very direct. Yes, they do. But for me, I don't care about what other people think of me. And the interesting thing is I meet so many people, especially women, that run their lives based on what other people will think. You know, as long as I'm acting with integrity, I don't care. I don't care what the media writes. I don't care what people say. For me, it's about living a life with good integrity. And so I self-assess myself.
Can I ask you again about gut instinct?
Yep.
Because I think a lot of people don't trust what gut instinct is, or we read the memoirs of, you know, the rich and famous, and we think it's easy to have hindsight about, you know, their gut decisions. Things just worked out for them. What is gut instinct, and how do you listen to it?
Well, gut is kind of an intrinsic thing, and you can develop that, but it's something that exists and it's there. And women have particularly good gut instinct, and it's the one thing that we perhaps are, you know, we have a stronger gut instinct than men, say. And the reality is we don't listen to it. We learn to sort of just ignore it. We're so used to, and it's that lack of confidence thing. Oh, I won't be right. I'll walk away from this. I'll let someone else deal with it. But we need to trust our gut. You know, I see so many women in a changing room environment in the store. They'll come out of the retail environment and they look fantastic, and that's not just because they're in one of my great frocks, it's because they actually do look fantastic, but they profess not to know. And I find that incredible, because every damn day they get up and they dress themselves and they know whether they've done a good, bad or indifferent job. So how can they not trust themselves to know in a shopping environment when we've got it right or when the retailer's got it right. I mean, it seems, you know, they shop with reinforcements, they take it away, they hesitate. We've got to learn to trust ourselves. We can call it, we can do it. We've got excellent gut instinct.
They lack confidence, presumably. Did you always have it?
I developed it. You know, I developed it. And obviously, as you get put into different scenarios, you get better and better at it. It's like anything. You know, if I was doing an MBA or a degree, I would get better and better at certain areas. So put yourself into those scenarios where you have to develop your confidence. So that was all about just front foot thinking, I can do this. I remember when WOW asked me to speak. I was judging WOW last year, and they asked me to speak in front of an auditorium of 7,000. Now, before I could say no, I said yes and hung up the phone. And I sat there and thought, oh, my God, how am I going to do this? And I thought, if I'd allowed myself to say, look, I'll get back to you on that, I would have said no. You know, and so for me, it's always about pushing myself. So people need to do that more.
It's an interesting philosophy.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've got to trust ourselves. We've got to have confidence. We've got to stop avoiding stuff. We need to start confronting. Stop doubting, you know. We need to live the big life every day.
Are you one of those people who believes that if you do that, if you have that attitude, that the universe conspires to assist you?
Absolutely. It totally does. It can't do any differently. You know, we are the cause of our effect. You know, I'm quoting all these sort of wonderful little sayings that I've picked up over my 50 years. But, you know, I mean, totally, you can't drive it any other way. Sure, stuff happens, but when you're in a positive mindset, you deal with it very quickly. It doesn't become so catastrophic. It's something you can work through.
You've got to also have integrity in the sense of being honest about who you are, don't you? The woman who wrote that book about Feel the Fear Do It Anyway, whose name I've temporarily forgotten, she once said, you know, you can try all your life putting your ladder up against the wrong wall, and your version of that is don't try to be something you're not.
No, totally not. You've got to be comfortable in your own skin. And that's where I've got. It's taken me 50 years, hell, I mean. But I am absolutely comfortable in my own skin. So that's why I don't need other people to self-assess me. I don't need someone to say whether I'm dressed correctly for that day or, you know, I trust myself to be able to carry out each and every day and, you know, the way I want to carry it out and carry it out well. So, yeah, you do. So you absolutely do.
So you're taking a course in being a company director. Are you going to be running New Zealand shortly?
No, it's politics is not something that pushes my buttons. You know, the entrepreneurial world does, and I really love what business is. So it's about actually stepping business up to the next level. And because I support business at so many levels, it's about having knowledge about, you know, directors and boards and CEOs and all that sort of structure is very much foreign to that sort of SME entrepreneurial person like me. So I'm starting to expose myself to more structure, more strategy, and I think that'll be healthier for my business because I've obviously got a huge vision going forward as to what this business will look like and what its turnover will look like. I mean, I'm in business to make a profit, not just to sell frocks and see them on the backs of the right people.
So your ambition would include going even more global than you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm seriously, seriously entrepreneurial, and I want to drive that at another level. And when you're working without the structure and the strategy, which is that board type of environment, that governance type of environment, you're limited. There's only a certain level you can get to. So for me, it's about giving myself the tools to do that. But, you know, I've sat here for 3 days at Massey in Palmerston North, and the weather has been beautiful. And I've loved every bit of it. It really has made me think. And I love that. I love the fact that I'm in an area now that I have no or very little knowledge about.
Lovely to talk to you. Good luck with that and good luck with everything else connected with the empire.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jim.
Anna Stratton, Wise Heart, 10 Strategies for Success in Business and Life, out through Random House.